Thief Evan Byron and have an experienced team dedicated to delivering you their daily catch-up. With Upside Realty, you get an experienced agent, all marketing, online listing, and organised inspections for one flat fee. Visit upside.com.au. Thief Evan Byron,
1019, The Fox.
Peek behind the curtains. We're two boys and a girl in a studio, and this has happened since we started working together. We can't get the climate in this studio right.
Oh, we got it right.
Well, then it was always too hot for you, and Fev, now we've come back from the holiday, because Fev complained a lot at the end of last year. You did. You kept going, we need an air conditioner in here, it's too hot. Now we've come in, and there's like a whole system. You can go up to the wall and you can
put on the temperature. It's beautiful.
It's like we're in a hotel room. You can basically adjust the temperature in the room. And I came in this morning and I just tweaked it.
No. It got real hot, Byron,
it's
didn't it?
Bikram yoga in here.
It's Bikram radio. And literally, I go to you, what did you change? I didn't change anything. I've never touched it. I don't know how to use it. I walk over there, it's on 25 degrees and heater. It's stinking hot in here.
Pop a jacket on.
But old mate reckons she hasn't touched it.
No. What is it? Girls run.
Cameras everywhere.
I admit, I just bumped the temp up a bit. I didn't mean to turn the heater on.
Oh, what? The heater says mode, change to hot, heat or cool.
What is it with girls? Their body temperature seems to run about 5 degrees colder than guys. Anyone in a relationship with the opposite sex will relate to this. It's a weird thing.
I remember one of my relationships nearly broke up because of this, because driving along in the car, and he'd want the aircon on, I'd want the heater on, and then he'd crack open a window, and I go, I'm freezing, shut the window, turn up the heat. And then we'd compromise, heater on the feet, not on the face, and it's like, it became too hard to be together.
Yeah, but now you're fine because you've got heated seats in the Mercedes.
Okay.
Mercedes is wonderful, and a big shout out to Mercedes-Benz Brighton.
How did we end there?
I don't know.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 1019, The Fox.
Did you hear that story about the Japanese tourists in Venice? Fev? Well, look, I'm bringing it up because I know you are about to, and I'm bringing this up because for anyone who's ever travelled, anybody who is thinking about travelling, you need to hear this because it's almost a community service announcement. So these Japanese tourists, they're in Venice at St. Mark's Square. They go out for dinner. They have I'll tell you exactly what they had. They had water. They ordered three steaks and a entree serve of fried fish. So that's three steaks, entree serve of fried fish, and some water. Their bill was £1,145. So that is that's about $3,000 Australian.
A thousand a steak.
Now they've gone to the police and reported them.
Wagyu.
aged for 4 years.
Wasn't tap water, obviously.
Now this sounds like, wow, that couldn't happen. I think, and I'm saying, this happens all the time. Now you know this about me, boys. I'm not great with maths. It's just never been my strength. I'm not good with numbers. Yeah. So whenever I've gone to a foreign country, I can't do the currency thing. I don't know what I've got. I've got some core. I go to the ATM, I get some cash. And even in Hong Kong, I didn't, like the other day I got out like 500 Hong Kong dollars, and that's like,
what is it?
It's like $10. $10 Australian.
Same as when you're in Bali. Yeah. You got like $1 million is like $10. You're like, I've got $1 million. Yeah, it's not enough.
I know. Well, I remember when I was backpacking, I was like 22 and I was going out to France, and I caught a train to Nice, and I had to go to this B&B sort of hostel. And because you rock up.
Things have changed.
You rock up and you don't know. So a taxi pulled up, and I didn't know that it was like 900 metres up a hill. Right. Like I could have walked there with my backpack. So the taxi, I've gone, hi, I need to go to hand in the piece of paper. I'd, printed the address in very clear printing. And he's like, yeah, get in. Oh, oui, speaking French. And I get in.
Fifi.
Yes, I tried my high school French on him. Anyway, we got to the B&B, got inside. He asked me for whatever it was, how many francs. I gave them to him. And then he's driven off, and I've gone into the B&B and I talked to the lady, and she said, how much was that? And I told her, and she explained to me, I had just spent $400 Australian dollars to be in a taxi for 2 minutes and be taken less than a kilometre.
Wow.
But you get that. That happens. You panic. You don't know. You're in a foreign country. Another time when I went to Russia.
No, not that story.
No, yeah, not that.
When you're
Russian
in the sauna.
Story. No, not the sauna
with your
story.
Because that's not for broadcast.
I remember I turned up in Russia and the guys at the airport just come for you and they were running up going, I'll come for my taxi. And I'm like, yeah, I need a taxi.
I think that was the movie Taken.
Yeah. Well, it may as well have been because I only heard after that that, no, don't go with those guys because they just rip you off.
Okay.
And again, I paid a few hundred dollars for a taxi fare that could have cost me like 25. Ripped off overseas. It happens. 131060. How did you get ripped off overseas?
And you're that good with numbers, Boxy. Remember that time when you got didn't know you got paid for 6 months? You just didn't realize.
Shouldn't even notice that she hadn't been paid.
Hadn't been paid for 6 months.
Don't
even know.
That. Don't remember that.
Oh. Cha-ching.
There's a few producers that were a bit put off by that.
Boxy.
Money's not my thing.
Money's not my thing. Hong Kong, Venice,
your
Russia.
Your call's next on the Fox.
I was backpacking.
Fifi, Fev and Byron. 1019, the Fox.
The story of three Japanese diners in Venice being charged over $3,000 for a meal, and that meal was just three steaks, some tap water and a bit of fried fish. That's made headlines, and it's had Venice, like the mayor of Venice or the guy that runs that joint, he's on the front foot saying, I will look into this. But I think it should be looked into globally because I think anyone who's been overseas has been ripped off because it's the foreign exchange rate, the what's their money worth, what's my money, can be confusing.
When I was in Oslo after I got kicked out of Ireland.
Oh, la-di-da, yeah. Oslo.
No, mate, the AFL paid for it. I didn't pay for it. I was on a junket. Got kicked out of a country, went to another country. We went out for dinner and we only had my mate Simon Fletcher and myself because he was living over there building houses.
Weird. In Oslo?
Yeah, weird.
Bizarre.
Yeah, bizarre. He's in my bridal party. Anyway, we ordered two steaks, had six beers, three each, and it cost us like $1,500.
So but he got said
that's
off.
How expensive. No, he said that's how expensive it is. It was Australian. Right. 1500 Australia.
But is anyone reading menus and just looking at the cost, Fifa? I mean, I don't want to rain on your parade, but surely these Japanese tourists, didn't they just look at the menu and go, that's expensive, I'll walk out?
No, but that's the thing, though. You don't necessarily, you look and you go, I don't know what that means. Like, that's what I'm saying.
You
it's
have a converter
confusing.
On your phone.
Yes, but you've always got to have your phone.
Oh, you didn't
you.
Have your phone. That's right, because you weren't looking at anything.
Digital detox.
I wasn't responding to your text messages. Tegan in Windsor. Hi, Tegan.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Tegan. Have you been ripped off when you've gone abroad?
Yes. So I went travelling to Europe with a couple of friends, and we're in Germany, and decided to go out one night. So we got in a cab from our hostel. Didn't realise the hotel was the club was only about 10-minute drive. We drove around for about 45 minutes, got charged about $200 to $300 and got dropped straight back out the front of our own hotel and didn't even realise until we got out.
That's amazing. That's actually amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Wow.
But that's like even in Sydney, when you get off at the airport in Sydney, thankfully I know it because I grew up there, but they always say to the Sydney cab drivers, which way do you want to go from the airport?
I know.
It's like, you should know. You're on the roads 24 hours. Why do I have to tell you which way to go?
But that's their they're saying, do you want to pay the tolls or not, aren't they? Really?
I suppose.
They do that to me.
And then they take you that long botany roadway.
Yeah,
and
I just
you know
say,
it's going to get them
quickest
more money.
Way, bro. And then you Google it. And then when they go the other way, say, hey, mate, you're going the wrong way. And sometimes they stop the fare. They stop the meter. Mm. They know that you've got them.
Good tip.
Anyway.
Melbourne cabbies don't do that.
No,
ours are above board. Josh in Greensboro. Hi, Josh.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, good, Josh. What about you? Did you go overseas and got ripped off?
Yeah, so I was in Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
It was my first day there and I walked out of the hotel. I thought I'll get a little tour around the city. So I got on one of those little Vietnamese rickshaws, the bikes with the seats in the front.
Yeah.
So I jumped in that and it took me around for about an hour. We stopped at his mate's market and we had a couple of beers and I thought, oh, yeah, this bloke's pretty good. It's for us. And, you know, I thought, oh, that's it, I better get going. And then he wouldn't let me leave until I paid him 600 Aussie.
Whoa.
No.
Yeah. Now, that was pretty bad.
I bet, Josh, I'm guessing he had mates around or you were alone.
Yeah, it was pretty intimidating, yeah. But I actually didn't know it was 600 Aussie, but some he gave me in Vietnamese, I knew it was large.
Oh.
So I ended up just paying it. And then once I got back to the hotel, I said it to the bloke at the hotel and he's like, yeah, that's 600 Aussie. And I was like, you're kidding me.
Oh, Josh.
Boxy.
What?
Never get involved with the Vietnam Mafia.
Is that what Josh
did? They've obviously taken him to a bar and said, hey, these are all my mates.
Surely it was just a dodgy rickshaw driver.
No. They know. They can pick them.
Is there a Vietnamese mafia?
Mate, Josh is going, give me a lift. This is grouse. Ah, we've got one.
That's the lesson, everybody.
Clams, there's a lesson.
I think that summarises everything perfectly.
Travel with friends.
Don't catch rickshaws.
Fifi, Feb and Byron, 1019, The Fox.
First week this week, and on Monday, you revealed something boxy to us that you watched a certain show called Outlander.
Yes.
And you fell in love with a good mate of ours, James Fraser. And this is what you said on Monday.
He's this incredible kilt-wearing Scottish warrior. He takes his top off a lot. He looks great. he's chivalrous. He defends his woman. He's just everything I love in a man. I've watched every YouTube video that this actor's done. I've watched the highlight reels. I'm watching blooper reels. I've watched every interview he's done.
Blooper reels?
Yeah, wow. I've watched all the videos. I'm obsessed with Jamie Fraser from Outlander.
Yeah, you are. And I think every male and female in all of Melbourne either downloaded that or Googled him on Monday.
Yeah.
But we've moved heaven and earth. Our wonderful producers
have managed
to do something that I thought would be impossible to do. But because Leon, Tim and Case are the best in the business.
They work so hard behind the scenes.
They do work hard behind the scenes. And we've managed to get this for you, Boxy.
Sing me a song of a lass that is gone.
Hello, Fifi. It's Sam Hewn here, or you might know me as Jamie from Outlander. I'm currently in my trailer on set in Bannockburn in a very cold Scotland on season 4 of your favourite show. I've been told you're a fan of my character. I'm very, very flattered. Hopefully I can get out to Australia to see you. Thanks again for watching the show, and maybe see you soon.
Was that really him?
You're welcome.
No, tell me, was it just an impersonator?
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Oh, thank you. See, we do something nice. Hang on, I'm just... Really, was that him? I don't believe that.
Oh, okay. Why don't you believe that we could do something nice?
I'm really great. I'm shocked. I'm a bit thrown. That was amazing. Can I hear it again?
Absolutely.
Of course you can.
Sing me a song of a lass that is gone.
Hello, Fifi. It's Sam Hewn here, or you might know me as Jamie from Outlander.
She's got that nervous giggle.
I'm currently my trailer on set in Bannockburn in a very cold Scotland on season 4 of your favourite show. I've been told you're a fan of my character. I'm very, very flattered. Hopefully I can get out to Australia to see you. Thanks again for watching the show, and maybe see you soon.
Well,
as soon as it happened, I went out to Leon. I go, dude, see if we can get you guys, mate. I've already emailed his agent, and they did it within, 2 days?
48 hours. Great
48
work.
48 hours.
Oh, my
Excellent
heart
work.
Is going a million miles an hour. Did he do a little video? Can I see him do it?
I think, is there a video or was
Videos.
It down the line?
It was just
it was
audio.
Down the line. Down the line. Oh, this was annoying. On set, mate.
I know. That was Sam
Is
Hewn.
There a video? Never happy. Never happy.
Nothing's
he
enough.
Said my name. Can I please get that again?
You can have it on
You're
your
listening again.
That could be your ringtone. You can have that as your ringtone when Damien calls.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I'm in a relationship.
Is there a thank you or?
No, I said thank you. That's incredible.
Possible,
I'm so touched.
Possible reason anyway, that there's no, there is a possible reason there's no video.
But I love
Why?
How you're so
is
excited.
What is the reason?
But it's actually Leon's boyfriend, Ian.
Leon's Scottish boyfriend, Ian.
Got him, yes, go on. I love this job so much, so much. Bad luck, Boxy. We tried, but we got
pretty hard to get.
We got a Scott.
That's really disappointing.
Fifi, Feb and Byron, 1019, The Fox.
Remember when you made me think that the guy I've got a massive crush on the TV called in and said hi to me? And it wasn't. It's a prank.
Oh,
anyway, moving on. I'm still recovering.
We'll make up for it, I promise.
Anyway, I want to talk about call centres. Centrelink are under fire at the moment because last financial year, horror stories have come out of how long people are waiting to get through to someone at Centrelink. So the average is about 16 minutes. But a lot of them, particularly when you're phoning through about disability, sickness or carer payments, that's 30 minutes. Employment hotlines are over 30 minutes. Young people, students calling, they're waiting on average 31 minutes. People talk about hours on hold, months to get through. So they're under fire and they have responded by saying, okay, we're going to work on it. But, and I want to preface this by saying I have worked in a call centre before. So, and I have an admission to make that I'm not very proud of. Mm. In actual fact, I would like to launch a little segment here called Call Centre Confessions.
Ooh.
Because.
Yeah, probably should have, we probably should have made a little jingle or something.
We should have. Yeah. Because when I went in a call centre, and I want to point this out, I was 20 at the time. I was a uni student. I was working on the radio, volunteering at night. I was actually volunteering for about a six-hour shift in the middle of the night. So I was tired by the time I got to the call
center. Just so you know, none of this makes what you're about to say right.
I know, but I'm just trying to say, I was tired and I wasn't thinking clearly. But anyway, at the call centre, we had, and I was at the I was working for the ATO at the time. Wonderful organisation, the Australian Tax
Interesting
Office.
You'd mention them on air.
I know, anyway, I've done it. And it was when back in 2000 when the GST came in and BAS statements, and I was out of my depth. I was absolutely had no idea what to talk about or how to. When people were calling in and asking me how to fill in a BAS statement, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I'd had like a week and a half of training. Yeah. I had no maths background. So, but we were being
boxy working with numbers.
Yeah,
scary.
Not,
interesting for the government.
I should not have been there. But we were given, and people who work in call centres might know this, you are given quotas and you've got to fulfil, there's requirements to fill. And if you could get through, I guess, you know, 15 calls in 30 minutes, and if you could have a rate of 1 minute per phone call and deal with people quickly and effectively, you're a superstar. So I figured out, and my little trick was, and again, I am not proud of this, and I do not condone it, and please don't do this if you're in a call centre. I figured out, because if you just didn't take the calls and played solitaire or something on your computer, if you didn't take them, they'd know that. They'd go, well, Fifi's not taking any calls today. So what I'd figured out, though, if I just disconnect my headset, then the calls drop in and that would be somebody there maybe going, hello, hello, hello. And I'd watch the clock, and when it went to about 30 seconds and they were waiting for someone to speak, I would disconnect it. And then on my, you know, my scorecard at the end of the day, Fifi's on fire. Look how many calls she's taken. Look how quick she is at dealing
with
them.
Why don't you just get some mates to ring?
Now, did you? Can you imagine what that switchboard would be like? You can't just get through. It's about, you know, 500 people working in the call centre. I couldn't get someone.
Oh, yeah, you can't just get.
No, you can't
no
just
direct.
Get who you want.
Yeah.
But the point is I found that was a trick for me not having to work necessarily as hard
as I taxes were going towards that little trick.
Well, I was a stupid, young, immature fool.
Correct.
But 131060, call centre confessions, have you maybe got something to confess from your time in a call centre?
Well, let's be honest. When the students ring up for Centrelink, well, they've got nothing else to do. Just put it on.
Just stay on hold.
just put it on mute, look at your Insta, look at your Snappies. They're not doing much else. What are they whinging about?
That's a good point. Now, this is not a good reflection on our team because I've already put myself up as somebody that's not actually a good citizen when it comes to working in a call centre. And we've got our wonderful Brad guy. You might be familiar from all our Insta stories, Instagram. Brad, can you please share your story of working in a call centre?
Another one. Another member of this team who's chunky.
Yeah, I was a bit cheeky. I used to do membership sales at a gym and we had to get 20 leads a day. So in the system, I would just put in fake names and fake numbers and fake suburbs just to get my leads up.
Warren called. He wasn't interested. Terry called. Wow.
Just put in fake names, dead names, whatever.
There we go. So are there any innocent people on this show? 131060, the call's already coming through,
Fev. When you do call up someone like a Telstra or Vodafone or whoever, Commonwealth Bank, and they you do wait for a while, and at the end of it they go, can you just please hold for a couple of minutes and answer the questionnaire?
Who's ever hung
Mate,
around for that?
Hang straight up. We'll come tell back. Me you're doing that.
We'll take your calls right after this. Your call centre confessions with Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Fifi, Fev and Byron. 101.9 The Fox.
Centrelink are under fire for their long wait times. So when you call through to the call centre, you can be on there. It's sort of average 16 minutes, but most people are on for 30 minutes, hours in some cases.
I reckon you get to the point, Boxy, where you ring, and if it's not 10 minutes, you get real frustrated, but then you go, well, how long can I actually wait for?
Yeah, you do.
So when you get that, oh, I can't hang up now, it's 20 minutes, I can't hang up, and you really sit there and you're like, how long can this actually go for?
I know.
I've done that.
Well, do you know, I've done that too. And then you'll be in the kitchen and I'll cook and I'll have it on speaker on this music. So I'll hear when somebody picks up. But the worst thing about this is that Centrelink, they close their lines at 5 p.m. like when people finish work, that's when you get home and you can deal with this stuff, or that's when you can.
But people ringing Centrelink aren't at work.
Okay, well, no, some people are.
There is that.
Some people are. Anyway, we've got a new segment here. Byron, can we fire off our brand new opener?
Call Centre Confessions.
Nice. That's right. I worked at the ATO back when I was about 20, just wrapping up uni, and I was a bad call centre staff member. I unfortunately disconnected my headset many times and I let calls just drop through. And I didn't have to deal with them. Played a lot of solitaire, fired off a lot of emails.
It's disgusting.
And unfortunately that is bad, poor call centre behaviour, but these are the confessions we're looking for. As I said before, the phones melted down because I love that. We are talking to people who know phones, know what it's like to call through.
They will also have a great phone manner. You know,
that's
like
right.
They're all going to be great on the phones
in
too.
In fact, we should be on our best behaviour. Steph from Hawthorne, welcome to the show.
Hi guys, how are you going?
Good. Thank you for waiting, Steph.
You're very welcome.
Now, Steph...
It was a pleasure.
And Steve, after your call, if you'd just like to leave a brief message to see how our service was,
I believe I have time to do so.
Steve, have you got something to confess? Have you got a confession?
Yes. So I actually worked for the ATO last year. Ooh. I was there during tax time, so obviously the busiest time of the year. And we would get phone calls from really aggressive tax agents and, you know, normal individuals. And they would call through on the wrong line to try and skip queues and stuff like that. So when I would get a bit of attitude at the start of the call saying, I've been on hold for an hour, this is all I need to do, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to have a look into that for you, 2 to 3 minute wait. I'd put them on hold for 10 minutes, come back, and I would say, sorry, you're actually in the wrong department. I need to transfer you, and then God knows how long they wait for.
I love you, Steph. That's amazing.
Steph, do you know what? And I remember this too from my time in a call center, and this is a tip for anyone listening. As angry as you are, and you are, you've been on hold for half an hour, mm-hmm, just be calm and be nice. Because
it's just as plain and simple. You're talking to a human being. You're not talking to a computer. I have feelings too. I'm sorry that you waited so long. I also have to wait when I call the ATO, so it's not my fault.
No, there
That's
you go,
right, Steph.
And you've got the power to put them on hold for another hour.
I also have the power to hang up on them. That's another thing that they don't remember.
Steph, I'm so glad. You're scaring me a little now. But what I love about...
They did have to give you a warning and say, look, if you continue your attitude, I can terminate the call. So we had to warn people a certain amount of time. So when they get that first warning, they'd usually stop. But we did get the few that kept going, kept swearing. So we're like, okay, goodbye, and hang up, and we felt a lot better.
Steph, as a fellow ATO employee, I also want to take this opportunity to say what a wonderful organisation they are.
And at this time, Byron, I'd like to say, sorry, hey, it's after 8 o'clock, bro. Hang up.
I'm not hanging up on Steph.
Hang up.
I'm too scared.
You're off. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Fifi, Feb and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
Okay, guys, so... I did something bad in my relationship.
How bad?
I didn't really, in my defense, Fev, I didn't know how bad it was. So, and it nearly, I was so worried I was going to lose my boyfriend over summer because he was very annoyed with me. Now, I'll take you back. So before Christmas, remember the lead up to Christmas? And the end of the year, for anyone who's working, it's always the stressful time. You're rushing through, you're doing long days, long meetings, wrapping up the year. And then next minute, you're on holiday. And I, through all of that, was tearing my hair out going, well, what am I going to do? Am I going to do for holidays? And what would Trixie like to do? And I was really busy. And you know I was working on another television show that I was filming.
Yes.
And I was flying to Sydney a lot.
Got that in the can, haven't we?
Yeah, filmed that. So that's all great. But I was spending a lot of time in Sydney and I was thinking about poor little Trixie. And her mum wasn't around as often as she usually is. And I thought, really want to treat her. I want to do something just for her. So I booked a little trip for Trixie and I to go to Disneyland. Over in Hong Kong. So 8-hour flight, got there, spent an amazing week at Disneyland. And I thought, look, while we're over in Hong Kong, why don't we spend a bit of time at Mong Kok and go and, you know, really experience the markets and what it's like over there. And
So mum ticks. You're getting ticks for
thank
mum.
You. Well, that's mum. What I was thinking. Yeah, anyway, so busy, wrapped filming on the TV show. And then it was like 2 days before Christmas. I'm having a chat with my boyfriend, Damien, and we were talking about Christmas Day and, you know, everything, and then Boxing Day, and I said, oh, and then I fly out the day after. And he said, what?
Sorry, what?
And I said, oh, yeah, did I not mention it? I'm taking Trixie to Hong Kong for a couple of weeks.
I don't have any words.
There's that bit where you're in a relationship.
I know,
remember
but
that bit?
Your boyfriend.
I know, but and he said to me, "You mean in 3 days you're going on a holiday and you haven't even mentioned this to me?"
That's not on, Boxy.
I'm aware of that now. Don't worry. He made me very aware of that. He rightly so said, "We finally made it to the end of the year. We're both on holidays, and you're going away for them." And I went,
"You didn't think to ask him to."
I did then. I was very quick to go. I'm sure we could find a flight.
that's like saying, "Oh, I've got a wedding coming up with Alex, and I didn't invite you to." And then the day before, go, "Oh, do you want to come to a wedding?"
I know.
That's token.
And
it's
you
too
don't
late.
Want to go. "No, I'm not going to your bloody wedding."
I know. And you're so right. And he was. I felt sick about it. I was so apologetic. It was like the penny drop. I feel like
you still went on the trip and had a great time.
Oh yeah, we had an amazing holiday.
Oh, but
no, and I was worried the whole time. I thought, "I'm coming back, and he's gonna break up with me. It's going to be over." And he was, you know, I thought I was in real trouble though, because we talked it through, and I was clawing my way back into the relationship going, "Oh, I'll make it up to you. We'll go on a holiday next time. We'll be fine." And then the next day he sent me a text. Can't remember what it was, but something about Christmas. And then
Boxy.
You're in a relationship.
You can't say that.
But he signed off, "Cheers, Damien." Oh, and I went, good. "Oh, no, this is bad."
You got friend-zoned by your own boyfriend.
Totally.
I tell you what Feef's done. Feef has forgotten.
That would have really hurt Boxy.
Oh, that's just horrible.
Damien. And if he's listening, I'm still so sorry, darling. I didn't mean to
For a
do
long
that.
Time, and I've known you for a long time, Feef, for a long time before Damien was on the scene, you've run your own race, and you've done a tremendous job. You've been a single mum to Trixie. You're still running your own race, and here's the problem. You've forgotten what it's like to even be in a relationship, and maybe there's other people out there who are in relationships, but just forget that they are.
Because I said that to him. And particularly, and you're right, even if you're single for a long time, particularly a single mum, I just think about her. And then I forgot I've got someone else now to think about too.
So, I mean, hopefully, Feef, you'll feel a bit better if we do get some calls from other people who've somehow, particularly the girls who are single mums as well, who've just forgotten that they're in a relationship. And I'm going, "Oh, that's right, the guy, yeah."
Yeah, and then Damien came over just for Christmas and Boxy had cooked up everything and then only put Trixie and Boxy's plate out and forgot Damien was even there.
I'm so sorry.
13, 10, 60.
I don't get it.
We feel for Damien.
I know.
Great guy. 13, 10, 60 is the number. We'll take your calls right after this.
Feef, Feef and Byron, 101.9, The Fox.
I nearly lost my boyfriend over summer. Now, I strongly believe that when you've been single for a while, you can sort of forget how to do relationships.
No. When you're single for a long time and you get a boyfriend, you're supposed to be in the honeymoon period. It's all about the boyfriend.
Yeah, and
you don't forget the boyfriend about a holiday.
It was all about him when I got back from Disneyland. Like,
That doesn't cut the mustard.
I just booked this holiday for my little 4-year-old Trixie, and I just took
her
to Disneyland.
Yes, we understand all that.
I know, and I just, in that excitement about treating her, I just forgot to tell him that I was heading off to Hong Kong.
Or think about him existing.
No, and you waited to the day before.
Three days before. I gave him three days' notice.
Fair enough.
But, no, I hope I'm not alone in this. I think when you've been single and then it's like how many guys end up in relationships and then Valentine's Day rocks around and they don't get their girlfriend a rose.
Valentine's
or
Day? But then, this is an overseas trip.
Okay, birthdays. And you go, "Mate, you're in a relationship. You have to step up now. You've got to make an effort." I don't think I'm alone.
Well, that's a less extreme example. Okay. That's a more innocent example of what you did.
Ashley in Meadow Heights. Hi, Ash.
Hi. So similar story to you, Feef. Pretty much I went away with my two kids. So I was single for quite a long time. Went away to Phillip Island. Sent a few photos to my boyfriend down at the beach and everything, and his response was pretty blunt of, "Oh, so you went away." And I just completely had a blank that you're supposed to even tell this stuff to people.
I agree with you here, Ash, because you just went down to Phillip Island.
Yes.
Fifi went to another country.
No. Yeah. Different extent.
Yes. No, but Ash, I know what you mean. You're running your own race with your kid. That's what you're doing. And then you go, "Oh, I've branched out a bit, but I just forgot for a second."
Yes.
That's all.
Yep. That's all it is. Perfectly innocent.
In some ways,
Feef wasn't as bad because at least she gave him the 3 days, whereas Ashley, she sent the pictures from she'd already gone.
Yeah, but her boyfriend doesn't want to go to Phillip Island. Okay. If someone said, "I'm coming to Hong Kong."
Right. Do you know, and I must say this, I'm not sure if he's listening.
How did you make up for it?
I've made up for it. But can I just say, I will never do that again. Like, I've learnt my lesson. It's very important to learn your lessons. That was bad, and I won't do that again.
Are you grovelling?
I don't know.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 1019 The Fox.
Now, we love our team here on the Fifi, Fev and Byron show, and all the you'd call them when you ring through on 131060. You'd speak to Leon, you'd speak to Tim, you'd speak to Casey, you'd see Brad on Insta stories, and now we've got our new Tom, who's our audio engineer to start.
Big team, big
An amazing big team.
But when we get this person in boxing,
yes,
we do a lot of fun stuff. This is my favourite bit of any show when we get this man in the studio.
Yeah, Tim is our assistant to the executive producer, or he likes to call himself a senior producer. Whatevs. Now, Tim,
whatevs.
Welcome back to the studio.
G'day, guys.
You're a hard-working producer. Yeah, you look the part. You're a very serious, bespeckled, serious, conservative haircut.
Professional.
Nerd. You have a brother that is possibly the coolest guy in Australia. He is a world champion snowboarder and he is a pretty cool dude.
Got Fev covered.
Scotty James. Now, we are going to, for people who aren't familiar with Tim and Scott James, we are going to go back down memory lane to something that happened last year. And I just need to point out, Tim and Scott are both loved by their mum, Celia. But we decided to find out who Celia actually liked more. Tim had locked in a lunch date with his mum and we said, Scotty, could you try and bump Tim and get your mum to pick you? So here's the little journey that we've been on with Tim and Scotty James.
Newly crowned snowboard world champion Scotty James has returned home.
The Aussie Scotty James, who's coming in hot.
Scotty James!
Thanks for having me.
Look at these stats. You were the youngest male Olympian in 50 years to compete. You're also the brother of our senior producer Tim James here on the show.
Hey guys. How
are you? G'day, Tim.
Scotty, we have a lot of laughs here because you're a young, high overachiever. It'd be very hard to be your brother. So we're going to find out once and for all, who is the most popular sibling? Scotty James, Olympic snowboarder, or his brother, Tim? It's all up to Celia James.
We're going
to
call Mum.
Yeah, this is about to happen.
Brilliant.
Here's the experiment. We got you, Tim, to ring your mum last week to set up a date. Then we thought, let's get Scotty to ring and try to set up a date at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Hey, Mum, it's Scotty. What are you doing tomorrow morning? It's like this mother-son breakfast Olympian thing.
Okay, that's exciting.
Yeah, should be good.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
All righty, see you, Mum.
See you, love you.
Love you.
Oh! Ouch.
Tim, you are the equivalent of the much-loved television show Everybody Loves Raymond, because everybody loves Scotty.
Everybody loves Scotty.
Everybody loves your brother, Scotty. Yeah. And it continues because something has happened in the last few days that is not necessarily a great outcome for you.
No, not great. And I told you guys this yesterday. So Fev had a chat with Will Smith on the weekend. Very exciting.
Yes, exciting. You were there.
Yeah. And I went along with him to it, to the MTG. Will Smith, arguably one of the world's biggest stars. Big, big dog.
Yeah.
I will start the story by saying that Mumford & Sons, the band Mumford & Sons,
right,
folk rock band, my favourite musicians, my favourite band of all time.
Inspired your band. Cool.
Big musical.
Your band, the Beauforts, I believe.
Is that where you get your inspiration from?
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Huge fan. But on Saturday, I was working with Fev, and I thought, Will Smith, I'll send a little cheeky pic to Scott.
Oh, great opportunity.
Great.
Get one
rub
up.
That in his nose.
Absolutely. So I said it to him. I said, oh, Scott, bit of a bummer working on a Saturday. Here is Will Smith with Fev. Sent that off.
Well, with Fev, not with you.
Well, yeah, I wasn't in the photo, but Will Smith was there.
I'm near a guy that's chatting with Will Smith.
No, I was there. I was in the room. I was in the room. It counts. And so I thought I wouldn't get anything back from that. Surely not. Surely not. Sending off a picture of Will Smith.
Because he'd be training for the Olympics, boring, probably on a rower machine in the gym.
Absolutely, eating lettuce just to get ready. He sends me back a picture. It actually says, oh, wow, Will Smith, that's cool. I said, yeah, it is, yeah. And he said, you're not going to believe this. Check this out. He sends me a picture of him arm in arm backstage with Mumford & Sons at their concert in Los Angeles.
Snap.
Very good.
The Fifi, Fev and Byron catch up done without compromise. With Upside Realty, they'll sell your home without compromise too. With no commission, just a flat fee of $7,500. There's no better way to sell your home.